Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning, and we appreciate those who are here. And if you're visiting, we're glad that you're here. If you're back visiting from a previous occasion, we're glad that you're back with us. And I hope that our time spent in God's Word this morning will be beneficial and helpful. The Lord has given us a great, beautiful day to come out and spend some time on spiritual things. You know, we could be doing a lot of other things on a Sunday for ourselves, but you've chosen to come and give some time to God, and that is certainly respected by Him, but it also helps us. It builds us up. It gives us an opportunity to get away from the things that normally would have been done and build ourselves up spiritually in our hearts and minds, and I hope that we can do that this morning in our lesson. As Curtis has already mentioned, and that song is a very good song that goes along with our lesson today about growth. We have just finished a VBS on the Apostle Peter, and I hope that we learned some great things, and I appreciate all of the teachers and students and the efforts that went into that. And this morning, by way of review, we typically do this after a VBS. I want to review our material, but under the rubric or the heading or the concept of growth. And I want to talk a little bit this morning about Peter, the apostle who grew to become a rock. And I want us to be impressed this morning with the fact that when we become a Christian, we do not start off where we need to be. We do not start off where we need to be. When we become a Christian, we are completely saved from our sins, and that is a great thing. But we are at the starting line. The life of a Christian is like a race. The Hebrew writer likens it unto that in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It's like a race. And when we're on the starting line, we're not at the finish line. We need to be at the finish line. We don't start where we need to be. We grow to where we need to be. And this morning, we're going to see that in the life of Peter and hopefully see that in our own lives. If we look at our lives and we see some things in the past that have not been right, if we see some things in the past that were bad decisions, things we shouldn't have said and things that we shouldn't have done, Peter would have had that. He would have looked back on his life and said, I said some things and I did some things that I shouldn't have done. But I'm growing away from that. I'm growing beyond that. I'm maturing, I'm growing, and that's what we want for our lives today. I'm sure all of us can look back and, in a similar way, see that same thing, where we said or did something or thought something that we should not have done. The key is, am I now growing away from that? I want to begin this morning in John chapter 1, where we actually began our series of studies in our VBS with the beginning of the call of Jesus' apostles. Some of them had been following John the Baptist, and now they're going to follow Jesus. And I want us to be reminded of something in this text, of what Jesus saw in John. When Jesus meets, in the book of John, what Jesus saw in Peter. What Jesus saw in Peter, according to John's account. In John chapter 1 and verse 40, one of the two that heard John speak followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He findeth first his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked upon him and said, thou art Simon, the son of John. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation Peter. Cephas is the Aramaic and Peter is the Greek, meaning stone or rock. Jesus saw in Peter that he could become a stone or a rock. He wasn't that on that occasion. He had to become that. When we think of a stone or a rock, we think of something that's hard. And we think of something that is firm. And so a rock becomes symbolic of someone who is firm and stable. And that's what Peter would become, but he would have to grow into that. That doesn't happen overnight. And so, brethren, the lesson, and friends, it's about growing into what we need to be. If we look back on our life and we see that there were things that we said or did that we shouldn't have said or done, that's one thing. But if we're still at that point, 10 years later, 20 years later, 30 years later, if we're still doing the same thing, we've got another problem. And that is, we have not grown. We're going to see this morning a growth that takes about 35 years. I'm not suggesting that all of it happened at the end. We're going to see Peter grows even during the gospel period, even during the life of Christ, and he grows right after that, leading up to Pentecost. Bob talked about that Wednesday night. I'm not suggesting that all of the growth happened at the end, but I'm suggesting that it's a 35-year period of growth. 35 years ago, think back to 1987. Have you grown any since 1987? The older folks, some of you weren't born then. Sherry and I were dating, and we would be getting married the next summer. 35 years ago, have you grown any? Have I grown any? We're going to look back and see things, well, I shouldn't have said or done that. That's one thing. But the other is, I've got to move away from that. And I've got to mature and grow. And at the very introduction of Jesus and Peter, he sees that Peter can become a rock. Jesus, I believe, saw change in Peter, not just common habits. I believe Jesus saw strengths in Peter, not just weaknesses. I believe Jesus saw successes in Peter, not just failures. And so this morning, what can we learn from this apostle who will become a rock? What lessons can we learn in growth and maturity and development and change? Do you know of anybody that's still doing the same old immature things? We all probably know someone like that. I'm not talking about a teenager. Although they might do some of those things. I'm talking about somebody who's 40s, 50s, 60s, still doing the same old immature things. We don't see that in Peter. Peter made some serious mistakes. Peter said some things he shouldn't have said. Peter did some things he shouldn't have done. Denying the Christ, that is a very terrible thing. But Peter grew away from that. And at the end of his life, he is living the life he needs to live, and he's writing about it to tell other people, stay away from those things that I did when I was young and immature and impetuous. Stay away from that. Don't do that. And we'll look at that in just a minute. Peter is a lesson about growth. That's why I asked for our scripture reading to be from 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 through 5, where Peter talks about growing unto salvation. And in just a moment, we'll look at some other passages in 1 and 2 Peter. We can learn to grow and mature and develop and change, and we can learn that from Peter. If Peter can do it, we can do it. One of the good things about studying Peter this past week was we were studying a Bible character. Somebody told me this before the VBS. You can identify with Peter. One thing good about studying Peter is you can identify with him. You can see in Peter yourself and myself. You can say, you know, yeah, I can see myself doing that. We can identify with him. We appreciate the things that he's doing, because that's a normal thing for many people. And so we can learn from him
to grow.
Cephas and Peter means rock. Now, it's not the bedrock. Jesus would use a little bit different word in Matthew chapter 16 when Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." That was the confession of Peter, not Peter himself. But the confession or the revelation that Peter made that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, the church would be built not on Peter, but on the fact that Jesus is the Christ. We know that because Peter preached that when the church was built on Pentecost. Peter preached that Jesus was the Christ. That's how we know what that rock is. But a little bit different wording, just one or two letters difference, you have a rock that you can hold in your hand, and that's the Peter rock, the Cephas rock. That stone or that rock that you can hold in your hand, it's hard, it's firm, and it's to symbolize a character that is the same way. And we see, and we're going to see, how Peter grew into that. Peter was one of the, what we call the inner circle. There's a few places in the gospel where he's called with Peter, James, and John, and he had special access to Jesus. And if I'm not mistaken, when the apostles are always listed in the gospels, Peter is always mentioned first. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 2, for example. Peter clearly stands out. And in Acts chapter 2, we're told that he stood up with the 11, and it's Peter's sermon that Luke records on that occasion. It wasn't the only sermon that was preached. It's the one, however, that Luke chose to record, and Peter gets a lot of attention there. Peter gets a lot of attention in John chapter 21, and Bob brought this out in the lesson where Jesus focuses on him. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. So there are times and there are places where Peter is being focused upon. And the question I ask this morning is why? What are we to get from that? What we're supposed to get from that is that Peter is growing to become a rock. And we need to be doing the same today. Let's not be giving up the same old excuses for our behavior, just the same old worn out excuses go through life. Young people especially, those of you who are in your teens and 20s, when you start developing those types of things right now, you just carry them with you all the way through life. And here you are in your 40s and 50s offering up the same old excuses. For attendance, for this, for that, just the same old thing. We've got to not do that. We don't find Peter saying, well, you know, here he is, you know, 10 years later, 15 years later, I'm, you know, got to deny the Lord. And I still don't know how to control my tongue. I'm still impetuous, you know. He doesn't do that. He learns. He grows. He makes changes. Turn with me to Luke chapter 22. At the end of Jesus' life, I believe at the beginning of Jesus' life, there is an implication that Peter is going to be a changed man. That comes from the wording that you are now going to be a rock. But turn with me now toward the end of Jesus' life. There's another passage of Scripture that implies that there's going to be some growth and change in Peter. And that's when Jesus in Luke 22 realizes that Peter's going to deny him, and Jesus says, I'm going to pray for you, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan asked to have you that he might sift you as wheat, and the devil wants to do that with all of us, even today, but I have made supplication for thee that thy faith fail not, and do thou, when once thou hast turned again, establish thy brethren. The implication is here, you're going to be a changed person. You're going to turn around and you're going to be the one who's the strong one. You're going to be the one who's going to establish your brethren. And I believe he starts that even in these what we call post-resurrection appearances. It goes into the day of Pentecost and thereafter he begins to be a changed person. Jesus does not give up on him. Jesus doesn't say, well, you're always going to be the way you are, Peter. Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. No, he says, I believe better in you. I spoke this morning on the radio program that very thought, and I told the listening audience, you can be better. You can do better. You can live by a higher standard than the world around you. You can do that. We can do that. And that's what Jesus is saying here. And we've got to believe that. And we've got to be growing then to make that happen. What a great success story in Peter. Peter had to grow, and he did. And we find toward the end of his life, some 35 years after being called by Jesus, he's telling people to grow. We already read in our scripture reading, 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, grow thereby, by God's word, grow thereby unto salvation. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 5 through 9. We commonly call this the Christian graces, things that are supposed to be added to our faith. Yea, and for this very cause, adding on your part all diligence. Look at this, diligence. Growth takes diligence. Growth is not just automatic. It's not just something where we just put our lives on neutral and it just sort of happens. We've got to make it happen, brother. We've got to get rid of the excuses, change the behavior, change the thinking, get diligent about it, and we can grow. And so when Peter says, add to your faith, that's growth, even without using the word growth. And there's some things he mentions here, and we're going to pick up on one of them later in the lesson, that applied to Peter himself. But in 2 Peter chapter 3, one of the last things that Peter writes about is grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's Peter. So, brethren, we can do it. Let me mention a few things from this past week and from the life of Peter, and then we're going to focus in on 1 and 2 Peter here in just a moment. Peter had to grow. He had to, for example, he had to learn to listen to Jesus and not to himself. I'm glad that Curtis led that song. That really is, you know, sort of a summary of Peter's life and our life. It starts off with all of me and none of Jesus. And we find that in Peter's life in Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus said, I need to go to Jerusalem and suffer. Peter said, not so, Lord. It was all about Peter. So much so that Jesus had to say, get behind me, Satan. Peter had to learn to listen to Jesus. He listened to Jesus. For example, on Monday night, we talked about how that Jesus called him and others, and they followed. He learned to follow Jesus immediately in Matthew 4 and Luke 5. He did what Jesus said when Jesus said, cast your net on the other side. He said, at thy word, Lord, at thy bidding. Peter is learning to follow Jesus. He knows John 6, verse 66 through 69. He says, you have the words of eternal life. He knows the importance of listening to Jesus. Yet he had to grow in this regard. In Matthew 16, when he stands in front of Jesus and says, no, I don't want you to go to Jerusalem. On the Mount of Transfiguration, we studied that Tuesday night. When Jesus was washing the disciples' feet in John 13, and Peter said to Jesus, no, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus says, well, you won't have any part with me if you don't. He's got to learn to listen to Jesus. And he will grow into that. And we've got to as well. I like the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17 and verse 5. This is my beloved Son. Hear ye Him. And the text indicates that that's right along about the time that Peter is saying, you want me to build these tabernacles? Hear ye Him. Peter, stop talking and listen to my Son. And we need to do that. We need to have open Bibles. And we need to let Jesus talk to us. You remember that thing that came up a few years ago. You're doing this. I need you to do this. You remember that? We need to learn to listen to Jesus and get our Bibles open and do what He says. It's not about our human wisdom. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said to Peter, "You do not mind the things of God, you're minding the things of man." And we've got to do that today. We've got to set aside the human wisdom, whether it's religious human wisdom or just secular human wisdom. We've got to get our Bibles open. What does Jesus say about this or that? Not I think and I feel. That was Peter. That was Peter on occasion. I think and I feel. And Jesus had, Peter had to learn to grow to listen to Jesus. You know, another thing that Peter had to learn to grow in regard is that when you make an affirmation and you make a vow, keep it. But Peter had to grow into this regard. In Matthew chapter 14, Peter wants to walk on the water with Jesus. Well, that would be a grand and glorious thing, but you better think that through. So when he gets out there, and his eyes are on the storm and off of Jesus, he begins to sink, and immediately afterward, Jesus said, "Oh, ye of little faith." If you're going to say something, have the faith to carry it through. Another example, of course, is Jesus saying, "I will never deny you. And I will lay down my life for you." And then just a few hours later, he went back on that. We studied that Wednesday night. Matthew chapter 26, John 13. These are probably different occasions, close together, yet different occasions in which Peter said, "I'll lay down my life for you." Now, if we're going to make those kinds of statements, which are great statements, we've got to carry through with that. And if we go down into the waters of baptism and we come up a new creature in Christ, we're saying, "I'm going to identify with Christ." We better stick with that all the way through life. And you are trying to do that. You're wanting to do that. You are doing that now, and that's commendable. But some don't. Some don't. And then we studied this Friday night with Daniel. Peter had to learn to accept the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10. And in Acts chapter 10, he said, "I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is acceptable to him." But Peter had to grow into the full understanding of accepting that, because a few years later in Galatians chapter 2, he goes back on that very thing when he doesn't want to associate with some Gentiles. And in Galatians 2, 11 through 14, Paul has to correct it. "I perceive that in every nation..." Okay, great affirmation. But you've got to carry that out now in your life, you see. And he learned to do that. So when you make an affirmation, keep it. And Peter had to grow into these areas. Another area that I think about, and we saw this on a couple of different occasions, when you're reproved, accept it and learn from it. That's hard. Whether it's our parents reproving us, a teacher, someone in the church, a sermon, a loving Christian who comes and says, "I need you to think about such and such, you need to change such and such." Will we accept that and learn from that? Or do we bristle and put up the defense? Peter was reproved from time to time for his actions. A lesser man would have resented this and gone off with offended feelings, but not Peter. Jesus' rebuke of Peter for him being a stumbling block, Matthew 16:23, "Get behind me, Satan." Well, he called me Satan, and I'm just not going to serve him anymore. I didn't like the way he talked to me. And in Galatians chapter 2, when Paul withstood me to my face, I didn't like what Paul said to me. I'm offended, and I'm going to quit. Right? Is that what Peter did? No. And in John chapter 18, I'm going to quickly take out my sword, and I'm going to cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest. His name is Malchus. And Jesus said, "Put up your sword." Well, I didn't like when he told me to put up my sword. But today, when people are reproved, well, I don't like that. No matter how loving you might do it, I don't like that. A lesser man would have resented this. A lesser man would have gone off offended and hurt. A lesser man would have made excuses for his actions, but not Peter. Well, let me tell you, Jesus, why I had my sword out. And let me tell you, Paul, why I was acting hypocritically. The New American Standard says that he acted hypocritically, and Barnabas was carried away by the hypocrisy. Well, let me tell you, Paul, why that happened. He didn't offer up excuses. He wasn't offended and hurt. What's he doing? He's becoming that rock. He's becoming that rock. And in those times in our life, we go through life, there's going to be some rebuke. Somewhere along the way, you would hope that there would be, unless we're living a sinless life. There's going to be some rebuke somewhere along the way. An elder needs to say something to us. The sermon says something to us. Mom and Dad, somebody. Some loving person comes to us and gets us off to the side and says, "Hey, look, you need to change such and such." We can respond to that in one of two ways. And when Peter was given those occasions of reproof, he accepted it to learn, to grow, to be a better person. So as we come now to the latter part of our lesson, turn with me to the book of 1 Peter. I want to close this out by looking at about 8 different areas in Peter's life where he shows that he has grown. He's not the same old, "I'm just going to be the same old impetuous Peter my whole life. I'm just going to be a denier my whole life. I'm just going to be hypocritical my whole life. What can you do?" No, we find in these areas that he's changed. And brethren, that's what I want for us. Again, when we look back and see something that we shouldn't have done, that's one thing. But if we're still the same way, we've got to change from that and grow and be better. Let's look at a few examples of this. And by the way, before you look at this, there are 8 chapters in 1st and 2nd Peter. 8 chapters, 5 in 1st Peter, 3 in 2nd Peter. And by the way, tonight, Lord willing, I want to wrap up that survey of 2 Peter. This week is going to be a lot about Peter. So we're going to try to wrap up that survey tonight. But when you add that 5 and 3, you get 8 chapters. Literally, in every chapter, Peter is going to say something that had a personal connection with his own personal life earlier in life. I want you to notice that. And this chart here will give you a few examples of it. We're going to have examples in all 8 chapters. Let's look at a few examples. For example, Peter started off impulsive. We know about that. We talked about that Tuesday night. He would say and do things that before he thought about it. And here he is at the end of his life talking about the need to change that. Look at 1 Peter 3:10. He that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. Well, when I was a younger man, boy, I just let it out. Now I'm refraining my tongue from evil and lips that they speak no guile. I'm not going to say, I know not the man. I'm not going to do that later. I'm not going to do that again. And those impulsive things that I said earlier, I am not going to do that. I'm going to be a controlled man. And so in 2 Peter 1 and verse 6, one of the things that he says is add to your faith self-control. And I'm pretty certain when Peter was pinning that through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, he's thinking, yeah, I remember back the time when I wasn't controlled. Yeah, I remember that. You see, he's grown. He's not the impulsive, impetuous, immature man anymore. And neither should we be. Grow away from those things that challenge us early in life, whatever it is. The things in marriage, the things at work, the things in our personal life. Okay. But grow away from that. And don't stay in that. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said, you're minding the things of man. You're not minding the things of God. And Peter learned to mind the things of God and the things of Christ. And it's about Christ and His Word. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. We'll talk about this more tonight. That you should remember the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of our Lord. It's about what Jesus says, not about what Peter thinks on this occasion or that occasion. Peter knew what he was. He also knew what he had become. He had become a rock. And brethren and friends, we're given one lifetime to do that. We don't get multiple do-overs. Let's get busy now. And young people, get busy now becoming that mature Christian. We studied this past week about his denial and his cowardice. And three times he denies the Lord, but he moves away from that. You begin to see it in the post-resurrection. You begin to see it in the standing up in Acts chapter 2. You begin to see it in Cornelius and these things that we studied this week. Peter's not a denier anymore. He's not a coward anymore. He's courageous. And so look at what he writes in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. Sanctify in your hearts Christ as Lord. And when he was preaching on the day of Pentecost, it was Christ the Lord. But on that night that he was warming his hands by that fire, he knew about Jesus the Christ. He had confessed that, but he had not set him apart as Lord. And he had to learn to do that more. And so when he writes, he says, set him apart. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason concerning the hope that is in you. No more denials. No more excuses. No more trying to distance himself, but stand up for Jesus. What a great evolution and growth process. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16. On the night of Jesus' denial, Peter's a coward. Peter is ashamed. And at the end of his life, he says in verse 16, he writes, if a man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. He's grown away from that. Let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name. We don't have time this morning to look at all of the suffering passages in 1 Peter. They're in every chapter. Peter was trying to avoid suffering on that night. He was trying to avoid persecution. He was trying to avoid being identified with Jesus. Here he's saying, stand up and let it be known. That's how you glorify God. And don't you ever be ashamed of that. Peter was worldly. He was acting like the world. He was warming his hands by the fire. He was following from afar, still close enough to see Jesus, but distancing himself and acting like the world. And then we come toward the end of his life, and he writes in 1 Peter 2:11, "I beseech you as soldiers and pilgrims to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, and having your behavior seemly among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they behold glorify God in the day of visitation." Abstain from things that are worldly. And Peter said, "I'll never deny you. I'll lay down my life for you." There's nothing wrong with confidence. You just have to be careful about overconfidence. 1 Corinthians 10:11-12, "Let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall." And yet at the end of his life, he exhibits the opposite. He grows to a point of humility. There were times when Peter needed to be more humble, but he had to grow into that. And there may be times like that for us. Get rid of the proud, cocky, arrogant, excuse-making, know-it-all approach and have a little humility. Humble yourselves, he writes. Humble yourselves. Gird yourselves with all humility to serve one another. On the night that Jesus denied the Lord, it was about serving himself. But we're going to gird ourselves, like wrapping your waist for work, with humility to serve one another. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Look at this. Casting all your anxiety upon him, for he careth for you. But be sober and watchful, for your adversary, the devil — Peter knows a lot about that — is a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That night that Jesus was denied by Peter, Peter was spiritually lazy. Spiritually lazy. Jesus had told Peter, James, and John in the garden, "Y'all need to wake up and watch, watch. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Y'all better watch." And a few hours later, denying the Lord. So Peter grows into what I might call a spiritual alertness. And as we get up each day, we are spiritually alert to the things of the world and how the devil might get us. And so we're sober-minded. Look at that in 1 Peter 1:13, 1 Peter 4:7, 1 Peter 5:8-9. To be sober-minded, waking up spiritually so we're not duped by the ideologies and the philosophies of the world. We're not duped by the temptation and the fancy, the glittery, you know, commercials and billboards that tempt us to sin symbolically. Sober-minded, wake up. And Peter had to grow into that. You see the growth process? Peter was an individual who fell. He fell away. The other disciples fled as well. He fell. He was spiritually weak. But he grew to become someone who was a stone and was firm. And at the end of his life, look at 1 Peter 5:9-10, he writes of this stability. "Whom withstand steadfast in your faith." The whom there is the devil. He didn't do that on the night that he denied the Lord. But now he's learned, I can stand up to the devil. How, Peter?
knowing that the same sufferings are accomplished in your brethren who are in the world, and the God of all grace, who called you unto his eternal glory in Christ, after that you have suffered a little while, shall perfect, establish, strengthen you. And if I'm not mistaken, the word for perfection there was used in the first century of fishermen for restoring their nets, broken nets. And Peter would have known about that. It's now about, I'm going to be an established and strengthened person, and I want you to be the same. He went from weak and falling to strong and firm. He says the same thing in 2 Peter. In fact, in 2 Peter 2, 20 through 22, he warns of falling away. And then last of all, Peter had to grow out of this hypocritical attitude that was displayed in Galatians 2, 11 through 14. He was growing to learn to accept the Gentiles. On the day of Pentecost, he said that the promise is to you and to all of those who are afar off. But he had to grow into fully accepting that. Acts 10 helped him more. But later in Galatians 2, when he's pulling back from the Gentiles and acting like, well, I don't want to associate with these people when some Jews come around, he hadn't completely learned that lesson, and he has to learn that. And I'm not going to act hypocritically anymore. And so in 1 Peter 2, 1, he says to put away that kind of thing. Put away, therefore, all wickedness and all guile and hypocrisies. I'm not going to be a hypocritical follower anymore. I'm not going to say to Jesus in the upper room or shortly thereafter, I'll die for you. And then hypocritically a few hours later deny you. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to do that anymore. We're going to put that kind of thing away. And we're just not going to live that way anymore. And in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, I want to stir up your sincere mind, your non-hypocritical mind. Well, that's Peter. We've learned a lot of things about Peter this week, and I wanted to look at the part of the story that deals with growth. And your growth can begin this morning. It can begin by being baptized into Christ. I can assist you in doing that. And you can grow. But let's not go through life with the same old things that were in the past. Peter didn't go through life, I'm just going to be the same old hypocrite. I'm going to be the same old denier. I'm going to be the same old uncontrolled, impetuous person. But take each life experience that comes along the way. And I have to do this. We all have to do this. Take each life experience as a growing experience. And move away from those things so that we can be pleasing to God. We're going to stand in just a moment and sing this song of encouragement. Who will follow Jesus? Peter and others did, and they were eternally blessed for doing so. Let's assist you in doing that this morning. Why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?